children going to be with us tonight. Amen. Continue to pray for Miss Sue as she's with her family, and get her back in the house with us. Amen. We got Barb for a little longer. Then she got to go to Detroit Nam, however you say that properly. Detroit, Vietnam. Amen. But you'll be back for Christmas, right? No, she shook her head. No. When it's about 10 foot of snow, you'll be back. Amen. Anyways, we love the time we've had with her. I just want to give a couple announcements, and then we're going to get into tonight's teaching. First of all, I just want to say you guys were awesome for this prophecy conference. I mean, totally awesome. The spirit of excellence was in this house, and I just can't tell you enough how grateful and proud, you know, in the sense of just so in honor of what you all did, and everybody took their place and got things done. And I just can't thank you enough. And I know that it will be it'll be echoed throughout the body of Christ, the spirit of excellence and servanthood that was done here, because you don't get that in every church you go to. You don't get that in every house of God. And so I just had to say thank you. And Brother Snyder was just so grateful for the hospitality. If he didn't say it 10 times, he said it 100 times. He just kept telling us how grateful for the hospitality and what the Spirit of God did here. So I just want to start out by just saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I know how hard it is. Pastor Jennifer and I have worked camp meetings in the past for a large church, and we know what 5, 6, 7 days is like, working every day from 6 in the morning to 2 or 3 at night. So you got a little taste of a couple days of what it's like. But you know what? Revival's coming to where we're going to be working first, second, third shift. Amen. And so we better get used to it. But again, thank you so much for everybody that helped out with the food on Sunday and different things. Just everything we did and provided here was totally, totally awesome. And I cannot thank you enough, okay? So just big giant kisses to everybody for what you did and for praying. Also, those who visited from different states, and there's some prospects of some folks wanting to be in this area. And so you just never know what God is going to do and make happen in services like that. The power of God was so powerful, really, in all three services. Saturday night was very special. Amen. And by the way, the word from August the 13th has now been put up on the back board up there. So if you want to go read that word, Cindy went ahead and wrote it out for us. It's very, very powerful. I don't know how many of y'all remember that tongue interpretation. It's very powerful about what God is going to do in this house. You need to go back and remind yourself of what God says. Amen. Especially after powerful services like this, you get hit on Monday, or maybe it's Tuesday, or maybe today you got clobbered or whatever. The enemy comes against you. You just go back and look at those things and say, God's got it under control. Amen. And so I just wanted you to know that. And I think, aren't you working on the word from Saturday night? Maybe that coming up soon. There was, again, I was sharing with, you know, people outside. Once the cameras stop, you know, God doesn't stop. There's still things that go on. And that was a powerful encore of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Also wanted to remind you to pray for the Cuba Crusade that is coming up in Placetas, Cuba. That is August the 26th. Saturday. She said I said the 15th. I was like, I did? But anyways, it was the 26th, this coming Saturday, the 26th of August. Please pray. It is going to be a powerful, powerful crusade. We've already been a part of investing in that while we were down there through our relationship with the pastor there. And, you know, to be in a country like that and to be able to be in the open air in a baseball stadium is pretty powerful. So please pray for that, okay? This Tuesday, August the 29th, I will be doing an interview with Lynn Liaz. So if you would, please pray for me at 1:30. I don't know when it will be released on different platforms, but usually it's a couple days thereafter. But this Tuesday, August 29th, at 1:30 p.m., I'll be having an interview with Lynn Liaz, a very wonderful sister in the Lord, very, very powerful, anointed woman of God. And so please pray that I will just be anointed as well. Amen. And then finally, don't forget the coming September 1st, next Friday, we close on this building behind us. If you've had an opportunity to look, there's no more junk in the yard. In fact, I saw him on Monday, and he had his little electric weed eater. He had one more spot to do. So he weed-eated for us, and he's real excited about turning a page in his life. And I'm excited about going over there and possessing new land and doing what God's called us to do. So exciting things are happening at Ignited, and I just love everybody for your love for us, and your prayers, your support, your contribution, people that are listening tonight, and everybody that came to this conference. I love you all, and I appreciate you. All right, we're going to get into tonight's message, tonight's teaching. Father, thank you again for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise and the honor and all the glory. Everybody say amen. Amen. The prayer of intercession. I'm going to go back just a little bit of review from last time we got together. I hope you've been enjoying this teaching on prayer, especially turning a corner, if you will, on the prayer of intercession. And some people title it intercessory prayer. That's fine. We're going to get into the theological schematics, if you will, of intercessory prayer. But I told you I didn't want to get into the theological part of it necessarily. I want to get into the relational side of it so that we can just settle down and realize that this is about relationship and not ritual. Ritual is always rigid. Religion is always is rigid. And I don't like it. I like relationship. I like a flow. How about you? And so that's why we're teaching it this way. So I said this the last time. The greatest gift you can offer to any person is prayer. It's the greatest gift. You know, money only lasts so long. Items that you buy, they only last so long. But prayer can last forever. Prayer can change your life. Amen. To stand before an almighty God and ask him to intervene on one's life is the greatest example of love, concern, and compassion for your fellow man. You know, praying for somebody will also help your heart with unforgiveness. Praying for somebody will get the oughts out of the way. See, oughts cause knots in your life. Not just the knots that tie up, it's the knots where you don't get stuff. Knot. Amen. It keeps the flow. It really does. Jesus said, you've got a problem. Put your gift at the altar and go back and deal with it. Isn't that right? Okay. So it's a great, great gift. So intercession is the ultimate example of Christ and the cross. All right. We've been talking about Genesis chapter 18, where we said covenant relationship opens the door for revelation and intercession. How many of y'all been kind of chewing on that thought? It's a very powerful statement. Covenant relationship opens the door for revelation and intercession. And we see where Abraham, in many incidences here in chapter 18, he ran. He hastened things. He really, really, really had a sensitivity to his visitors. And I go against some of the commentaries of the day. I believe that Abraham had some idea of who they were. He heard the Lord's voice before. He felt the presence of God. And you got to remember this, and this is just extra. I was thinking about it today as I was meditating on today's teaching. You got to think about this. Abraham didn't have the Bible. He didn't have a phone app. He didn't have a Lifeway Christian bookstore to go to. He had nothing familiar to remind him of who God was. He was called out of his country and out of the house of his father. You know, he has this wild experience with God, his voice and all those things. Then all of a sudden, he has this appearance of these three angelic visitors, if you will. I think Abraham kind of thought something was up, don't you? And I love the statement the Lord gave us that when you have an experience with him, you'll never, ever forget it. Amen. So intercession, the prayer of intercession. Let's go to the part two tonight. And I just really want to just preach that whole thing again, but we're gonna go a little deeper tonight. And again, I sense in my spirit, as I told you last time, that we're really going to stick on this for a little while, because I feel a spirit of intercession on this house. I feel a spirit of sensitivity to the things of God. It's a tender but almost yet weepy type of intercession because of the hour that we're in and what's taking place here, not only in the coming days, but really what's happening all around us at this moment. Amen. And so we're going to be people that are sensitive to the Spirit of God. All right. Genesis chapter 18. But let me give you first some quotes, some words that you need to write down, some foundational things that the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Write this down. Covenant relationships reveal covenant secrets. Covenant relationships reveal covenant secrets. And you could even put mysteries next to that, and that would be fine as a terminology. Because a lot of times the secrets of God, they're a mystery to us. Covenant relationships reveal covenant secrets. Things that are hidden from you are really hidden for you. Things that are hidden from you are really hidden for you. They're hidden for you so you go find them. That's how the Father works. That's how relationship works. It's based on pursuit. The deeper you pursue God, the deeper you get a revelation. And you only pursue God when you're in real covenant with Him. Remember, there's a difference between someone who's saved and just glad they're saved and they go to church once in a while than a person who understands the covenant that was made on the cross and deepens that covenant through discipleship. It's a big difference. That's why you just have religious routine people who shuffle into services and shuffle out, and they're never the same. They're never changed. They're always the same. There's no depth to them. There's no real root of them. They're just saved, and that's okay. I'm glad you're saved. But a disciple is a disciplined follower of Christ. Remember that definition I gave a long time ago? A disciple is a disciplined follower of Christ. So if I am a disciple, I'm disciplined in my pursuit of God. Just like I would be disciplined to win the gold medal. If I'm going to be disciplined to win the gold medal in weightlifting, I don't eat bonbons. Well, at least not every day. I don't let my coach catch me. I don't eat bonbons, lay on the couch eating Cap'n Crunch. And, you know, gold medalists always go for the gold. And Paul said that he pursues that. You know, he doesn't beat the air for no reason. He brings his body into subjection. So this is powerful truth. You say, what does it have to do with intercession? Well, you're going to see. So covenant relationships reveal covenant secrets or mysteries. Things that are hidden from you are really hidden for you. Watch this. It is the Lord's timing and our pursuit that opens these secrets or mysteries. It is the Lord's timing and our pursuit that opens these secrets. You must always keep the sovereignty of God in mind, in prayer, in anything. It's the sovereignty of God. So it is His timing, but it has to do with my pursuit as well. You see, there's a responsibility for me. There's a responsibility for you to pursue God with all your heart. Amen? Everybody got that? No? Yes? Let me read it again. It is the Lord's timing in our pursuit that opens these secrets. Again, I'm saying this all in context. It's His timing. You know, I can pursue Him. If He doesn't want to reveal something, He doesn't have to. But majority of the time, He will reveal it because He loves the pursuit. God loves the pursuit. I'm going to try that one more time. He loves the pursuit that you give Him in worship. He loves to play hide and seek. He really does. He does. That's why no man has ever totally captured or understood the totality of God, because he's a prism and He just allows you to see the parts and aspects of Him. You don't see the divine total of Him because He always makes you want more. He's salty, if you will. He makes us thirsty. Isn't that great? That's why it's so dangerous to become religious, because you think you've made it. You think you've reached the end of your relationship. You've reached the pinnacle because you went to the 330th Sunday school service. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You get a little star and a little certificate and the pastor pats you on the head and you're, you know, 98. Y'all ain't helping me. And you get your plaque somewhere and you've reached the pinnacle of relationship. No, that isn't the pinnacle relationship. The pinnacle relationship is to be like Caleb, you know, and just say, you know, I'm old enough to take this mountain. Give it to me. I still want to pursue. I still want to see what's on the other side. I still want to apprehend the promises of God. Anyways, I feel good. That conference did something for me. I don't know about you. It blessed me real good. I'm ready to do another one. Let's do it. I didn't get no amens back. Intercession, watch this. Intercession allows us to join heaven. Intercession allows us to join heaven in knowing and releasing these secrets. Intercession allows us to join heaven in knowing and releasing these secrets. You see, intercession just becomes a vehicle so the Father can get his plans, his will done, his mission done, his mandate, his purpose. So intercession allows us to join heaven in knowing and releasing these secrets. And there's so many aspects of intercession I can get into, but that'll be later down. You know, there's times down the road, there's times when you can intercede for yourself and God reveals secrets to you and for your future. It's very powerful, okay? But I'm not going to get into that just yet. I'm giving you some salt so you come back. How's that? Are you ready for Scripture now? Let me bring you to the Word. Genesis chapter 18, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, I of a surety bear a child which am old. We talked about her laughing the laugh of doubt. Is anything too hard? Really, in the Hebrew, it should be translated, is anything too wonderful? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You ever kind of just hit something from God? Is not an honest person in here. John's smiling. I mean, we always try to hide something from God, and he's like, no, I saw you. Amen. He's a loving father. Most of us will say, well, forget it, Sarah. You didn't believe me. You're out of faith. You're not going to get the child. But he's compassionate, is he? Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So it was custom for the guest to be escorted by the host at least, you know, a portion of the way to the direction of where they were going. And so Abraham did that. But I have this feeling that Abraham didn't want to let go of them. Watch this now. Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. This is one of the keys of covenant and the keys of relationship. So many times we want to get away from the Father. We want to get away from church. We want to get away from our obligation. We want to get away from our relationship. We say we don't, but we do in a sense by pursuing other activities rather than him. But Abraham was drawn through covenant. He was drawn through relationship, and he didn't want him to get away. Amen. And that's a very powerful truth. But notice this again, verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. So they came with a mission of grace, to bring word to Abraham and to Sarah that they would have child, that the promise would be fulfilled. And of course, Abraham is making covenant meal. He's making covenant relationship. He's running around. His heart's just so excited. He's telling everybody, hurry up and get this done. And get, woman, get in there and make me some biscuits. I mean, he's doing everything he can to get everything in order because of the excitement that's in his heart. I'm telling you, you guys were acting like that on this conference. You all were just moving around, everybody doing what they need to do and supposed to do because of the excitement of it all. But they came on a mission, an assignment of grace. But watch what it says here, when they got up, they looked towards Sodom. So they had a mission of grace to bring the prophetic word and the prophetic revelation to Abraham and to Sarah, but they also had a mission of judgment. Do you know God can do both? He's got that ability, but yet the modern church doesn't see that because we think because of the cross. Remember, I've taught this before, and preachers have preached this, that they say basically Jesus came to get God saved. The New Testament, Jesus, got the Old Testament God saved because he's just the mad old grandpa sitting on the throne of heaven, which is absolute insanity. He's the same. He's never changed. To know Jesus is to know the Father. The three are one. It's a mystery, and it's an amazing understanding of the Trinity. But he came with a mission of grace, but he also had a mission of judgment. He was going to deal with Sodom. And I believe that's where we are right now. God is on a mission of grace to save people in this nation, the nations around the world, wherever there's a soul. But he's also looking and speaking through the prophetic, through the prophets, through the word of God, that I am going to judge the earth. He's looking towards Sodom. He's looking towards Gomorrah. He's looking towards America. He's looking towards Brazil. He's looking towards every nation. And he's offering in one hand grace, but on the other hand, he says, I'm going to judge. And that's where we are today. And you and I must have the message, and that is the message of Ignited Church, the message of grace. You can be born again. But it's also a message of judgment, that if we don't get right, and if you don't get saved, your eternity is without God in hell. Is that right? And so we see that in chapter or verse 16. Now watch this, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I find this very, very, very astounding. Everything that Abraham did in this chapter led to this moment. In this verse, in these words being spoken, watch it one more time carefully. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Whew. God didn't have to tell Abraham anything. God wasn't obligated to tell Abraham anything. He had a mission. He had a mission of grace. He already gave you the baby. I gave you the promise. I spoke the message that's going to happen. But now he was on his mission to go judge Sodom. But because of covenant relationship, because of what Abraham did, because of his love for God, whom he was trying to understand. Again, he didn't have Lifeway Christian stores. He didn't have a phone app. He didn't have anything to go back and say, oh yeah, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, this is the guy that he's been talking about. This is the God. This is what my Sunday school teacher told me. He was walking by faith, and he is the father of our faith. Is that right? So Abraham was discovering this. And everything I taught you prior to this moment and everything Abraham was doing brought him to the secrets of the Lord. Because God didn't have to tell him. Who was Abraham? Think with me for a minute. Who was Abraham? Abraham was just Abraham. He was learning the things. There hadn't been this major covenant made. This wasn't this major deep covenant that God had planned for Abraham and all these things. He was walking in the beginnings of this relationship with God. Is that right? But the Bible says in Psalms 25:14 that the secrets of the Lord are what? They're given to them who fear him. The secrets of the Lord, they are with them who fear him, and he reveals the covenant to them. Psalms 25:14, write that down. The secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him, and he will show them the covenant. Just what I was telling you in the beginning about covenant relationships produce covenant secrets. Here it is in verse 17, that the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? I don't want God to hide anything in this hour from us. I'm serious. I don't want God. I know we're not going to know everything. We know in part. We prophesy in part. And we give a little revelation here. And another ministry gets another revelation. And we come together as a body. And we put together this big mosaic picture and understanding of what God is doing in the last days. But I don't want to miss him on what he's saying in this hour. I don't want to miss him for my family. I don't want to miss him for my relationship and relationships around me. And there's a very important key I want you to see here, that when we're in covenant with God and we're pursuing him and we desire him and we hunger and we thirst after him and we are passionate of him, he will stop and show us things that he won't show anybody else. He will. He will. He will. He'll protect you. He'll give you insight and understanding and concepts. He will protect you and show you when things are about to go south and tell you how to save your money and how to protect your assets and how to provide and how to be prepared. He'll do it. He's doing it now. Woo. I love this, man. Look at it one more time. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all of the nations shall be blessed in him. See, God is prophesying. He's declaring what he already knew and planned in Abraham. But he knew Abraham would be faithful. See, God already, he's already invested in you and I. Every one of us has a measure of faith. Faith is not only for right now. Faith is for the future. And so when he sees us pursuing him on the faith that we have now, then he'll add to that faith. He'll add to that measure towards our future, and he will bless us and get us to that place called destiny. I'm telling you. But it begins with pursuit. It begins with hunger. It begins with shedding the nominal, minimal Christian mantle that the church currently wears today. Get that thing off. Shake that plastic stuff off of you and get into a fresh relationship with God, fresh covenant with him. Is this okay? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He said, I can't hide this from Abraham. I can't hide this from Abraham because I'm in covenant with him. Listen, there's things coming in your life that God will not hide from you if you ask him to reveal it. He'll show it to you. He'll show you the secrets. He'll show you the future so that you can intercede for them. He will. But if you're just one of those that just say, well, whatever happens, happens. Oh, shucks. How many of y'all know people like that? And you tell them exactly what the Lord says. You warn them with the Bible.
Well, you know, God knows where I'm at, amen.
Well, you're going to get exactly that. I want to know how to maneuver. I want to know how to survive. I want to know how to succeed. I want to know how to thrive. I want to know how to be a blessing. I don't want to get caught up in the tsunami and rolled over in the dust cloud and just be found somewhere in some heap of ashes of wreck and ruin. Man, I want to be on top of the mountain. I want to be leading people into salvation. I want to be a city of refuge for people. I want to know what my Father's up to. I don't want to be a casualty. There are going to be a lot of casualties in the church because they don't want to pursue God. They want you to go to the mountain, and then you come down with the mountain with the word of the Lord. They look at you like a calf staring at a new gate. Don't know which way to go, in or out. Be like balking like an old donkey. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Isn't this awesome? He said, I'm not going to hide this thing from him because he's a man of covenant. Abraham's a man of covenant. Now watch verse 19. For I know him. I'm ready to just preach. For I know him. The word know is yada in the Hebrew. Yada. 3045, you want to study. It means acquaintance. It means somebody with a little bit of intimacy. It's not just some casual, oh yeah, I know bub. Abraham, I know him. I am acquainted with him. I know who such and such is in this church. I know you. I know him. I know her. I have a relationship with them. Come on now. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 7 says that Abraham was a friend of God. James chapter 2 says that he was a friend of God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Woo! About to do some moonwalking. Huh? This is good for my soul, man. I know him. Genesis 15:6 talks about the righteousness being counted for righteousness because God knew him. Verse 17, the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Verse 19, for I know him. I'm not going to hide anything from anybody that knows me. Come on now. Knowing where you sit on Sunday and Wednesday is not necessarily knowing God. Knowing how to get to the church is not necessarily knowing God. Knowing where your Bible is when you finally find it on Saturday is not knowing God. Knowing God is being in relationship with him and studying that Bible and being with him in his presence and praying and interceding and having fellowship with him. Knowing that you can't live without him. That if he don't exhale, you surely can't inhale. Woo. But see, this is the depth of Abraham. And people say, well, I sure wish I had that faith like Abraham. And I sure wish I had an experience like this. Well, you can have it if you pay the price for it. And the price for your anointing is different than the price for my anointing. I can't pay yours and you can't pay my tab. And see, that's what happens in a lot of churches, that we expect the pastor to drag you and bring you into that thing. No, all we can do is teach you and lead you and guide you and give you a hunger for it. But you have to pursue him like you're doing now. That's why I love this house. Now watch this. It gets deeper and it gets gooder. For I know him that he will, everybody say he will. He will command his children. Now this ain't talking about being a good daddy, a good peepaw, a good papa. He will command. It means to give orders. He's talking about future. He's not talking about being a good daycare daddy. He's not talking about being a good babysitter. He will give orders to his children concerning covenant and concerning the knowledge of who God is. You can leave your children all kinds of inheritance, but if you don't leave a godly inheritance, you didn't leave them anything. That's what the Bible says. If I raise my children up and I give them all kinds of stocks and bonds and all these different things, and I didn't teach them how to pray, and I didn't teach them how to love God and how to read the Bible and how to, you know, serve God, I've robbed them. And that'd be nice if you can give them both. And that would be the aim of every good parent, wouldn't it be? But a godly inheritance. So watch this. For I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him. He's talking about future generations. He's going to leave something good that's far beyond money, far beyond property. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. They shall keep the way of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. Now, the word keep there is shamar. Shamar. It's the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 2, where God speaks to Adam and says, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, he says, I want you to guard the garden, to shamar it. It means to protect. It's a military term. Obviously, he didn't do a good job back then, and man still don't do a good job today protecting his house because he don't know how to shamar. He got a woman that snows him over. He doesn't listen. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do as a man of God. Didn't get too many amens from women, but you know that's truth. If he would shamar the home, we would have less problems in the home. But he says, I want you to keep it. He said, I know you're going to keep it.
For I know that he will command his children, his household after him, and they shall shamar or guard the way of the Lord. See, God was looking so further into the future, and he saw this in Abraham, a mere man, but the man pursued God, and the man made covenant, and the man was hungry, and Abraham wanted to serve the Father. And God says, I'll tell you what, because you have kept this covenant, and you want this covenant relationship, and I know that you're going to make this a part of your life and every generation thereafter, I'm going to reveal some secrets to you. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, verse 20. And the Lord said, here comes the revelation now. Remember, he didn't have to tell Abraham nothing. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence. These are the two angels. You can find those two angels in chapter 19. You can find what they did. And they went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. It's very important you see this, because Abraham stayed in his position. You know what that tells me? A lot of people get a good prophecy. They get, you know, a good word, and they go on. Because now he's done talking about Abraham. Now he's fixing to talk judgment. Most people, they get hands laid on them, get a good word, boy, they gone. They don't come back to church or, you know, whatever. They got their word, and they skip on out. Woo, God spoke to me. But Abraham, he stood right there. Why? Because when you're in real covenant, you stick it out with God. When you're in real covenant, it doesn't matter how hard times get, no matter how hard the word is going to be, you're going to hang out with the Father because you know he's faithful. So the two angels depart. Now watch verse 23. Watch this progression of relationship. And Abraham drew near. He drew near. The angels done went away. And Abraham's like, you all go ahead and do what you got to do, but I'm going to draw near to God. I'm going to draw near to Jehovah. I'm going to draw near to this mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that has spoken to me, the one that promised me to make me a great nation, and my wife's womb that's already dead, he's going to bring it back and revive it, and I'm going to have a child. I'm going to get closer to him. And Abraham drew near. I have to camp there for a second, because so many people, when they get what they want, they don't draw nearer, they get farther back. Remember, the prodigal son did not backslide in the city. He backslid in the father's house. He was in the father's house when he said, give me my inheritance. He was already full of the blessings of the father's house. He wanted to go out and see what he could do with it all. You got to be careful about getting too full in the father's house. You got to stay hungry. And so Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now he begins his journey of intercession. Now he begins to want to understand, but he draws near with communication and communion. And this is the first solemn prayer ever recorded. The first solemn prayer ever recorded. This is where we are right now. And this is where our prayer should be. Verse 24, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? Now we know he was thinking of Lot. We know he was thinking of family. But he was also wondering, gosh, there's got to be some righteous people hanging out in Sodom. There's got to be somebody in Gomorrah that has some covenant relationship with you. Verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. So now he's talking to God about his righteousness. That the righteous should die as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? See, Abraham knew who he's talking to now. He called him Lord after he called him Adonai. He called him Jehovah, the existing one. He literally called him the angel of the covenant. He was talking to Jesus. Christophany. Okay? This is awesome, man. And so he says in verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. He's a good God. I believe if there were 50, he would have spared them, because he said so. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Think of this now. Abraham is operating in genuine humility. He was cautiously humble because he understood who he was standing in front of. He understood, he was standing between wrath and mercy. That's what an intercessor does. An intercessor stands before wrath and mercy and say, God, I want to remind you that you are an awesome God. I want to remind you that you are righteous. I want to remind you that you would never hurt anybody. And the Bible declares that you do not rejoice in the death of the wicked. He does not. But you are the righteous judge. Now, Abraham, no other man in the beginning of what we've read in the Bible from Genesis chapter 1 into Genesis chapter 18, no man has had this opportunity like this except Adam, as far as communion. Do you understand this? This close proximity to God. This is a powerful, powerful description of relationship. Verse 29. And he spake unto him, let me go back to verse 28, because I just told you about the dust and ashes. He realized, Abraham said, I'm standing before the creator of heaven and earth. So he says in verse 28, preadventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, and preadventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Verse 30. And he said to them, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Again, there's his humility. He's trembling. Preadventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. I love Abraham's persistence, because most people would have gave up on like 45 and said, oh, well, sorry about your luck. Is that right? Well, I tried. Couldn't get Granny out of there. Couldn't get so-and-so out of there. Verse 31. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. There's another humble statement. Cautious humility. You know, a lot of preachers, they just stand up and say, hey, you know who I am. Yeah, that's me. I'm the man with the TV ministry. I'm the man with all this. Hey, heaven, you listen up here. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You hear some of these guys pray and you're like, whoa. Abraham was like, he understood where he was at. Covenant relationship will do that for you. It'll make you very humble. Verse 31, he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Preadventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. He's pushing it. In his mind, he's pushing the envelope. Well, man, I tried 50. I'm going to try 45. I'm going to try, you know. He's pushing this thing with God. Can I tell you something? God doesn't mind a little pushing. He minds it in arrogancy. Big time does he mind it, because he rejects the prideful. The humble he embraces.
And that's why Abraham was cautiously coming to the Father. Verse 32, and he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way as soon as he left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. But I want you to see this. Watch this now. This is about covenant. This is about secret. This is about intercession, about relationship. God didn't leave until Abraham stopped talking. Abraham stopped at 10, not God. Abraham could have said 9, 9.5, 8, 7.75, 6. That reveals to us a lot here. It shows us the tenacity of Abraham as we watch him progressively intercede, but it also shows us the faithfulness of God that he would have stayed there as long as Abraham would continue to intercede. See, God will never leave us and never forsake us. We're the ones that shut the prayers off, don't we? We all do. And there's no condemnation for that. I mean, we pray and then we go to bed. Or sometimes we fall asleep when we pray. Okay, that's part of our humanity. But this is a very powerful statement, if you will, that the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communicating with Abraham. It was Abraham that was finished communicating with him. So Lot was saved. We know Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But Abraham learned the secret of intercession. He learned the secret of relationship with God. He learned that he could intercede and intervene and communicate with God. I guarantee you this made Abraham so much more bolder. And we'll see later on, you know, if you were to continue to follow Abraham's life, you'll see how he grew and he became more bolder and more hungry and more full of covenant faith as he went on. But I believe chapter 18 brought him to that new level. I want to close with this understanding. God trusted Abraham because Abraham trusted God. And God knew Abraham. And I want to say this because a lot of times you do these teaching and people get in condemnation. They think, man, I just can never match up. I can't be like this person. I surely can't be like Abraham. God knows you. He knows everybody listening to me right now, everybody here in this church. He knows you. And what he asks and he desires is that we would pursue him in covenant like Abraham did. So that we could know the secrets, because God wants to reveal to this nation. He wants to reveal to the prophets. He wants to reveal to the watchmen what his hand is going to do next. That is why we have this conference. What's next? Because we witnessed what God said he's going to do next in this nation. But he wants it individually as well. He wants all of us to know what's happening. Believe me, God doesn't want you caught up in the fire and brimstone of Sodom and Gomorrah. He takes no pleasure in that. And I believe the remnant has a lot of work to do in these last days. Amen? And I want to be on the top of the mountain, hearing the voice of the Lord. So in order to do that, I'm going to have to go deeper in relationship with him. Heavenly Father, I delivered the message about intercession. I pray, Father, this has been very salty for those listening tonight, that, Lord, they would drink of living water and drink and drink and drink and drink until it becomes rivers of living water out of their innermost being. God, so that we can be people of covenant and pursue you, so we can hear the secret counsel of heaven. We can hear your voice speaking to us, so we know what to do and how to pray for our loved ones and pray for our neighbors and pray for those to whom we have relationship with. God, I believe a spirit of intercession, a mantle, is coming on this church. It's already here. And I believe we're going to
pray even harder than we ever have in our homes and our cars. I pray that a spirit of intercession hit us, Father, while we're on break at work or driving down the road or in the middle of the night, Father, for the seriousness of the hour. And may we have our lamps full like the wise virgins of this hour. Father, bless your people. And I rebuke condemnation. I rebuke any hindrance of the enemy. And I speak freedom of relationship in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you guys. I will see you Sunday morning. Sunday morning is Bring a Friend Sunday, like last Sunday was, and the one before, and everyone.